This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mint with you for the next 2 hours on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And of course, because it is a Football Monday, this is also the Catholic Health Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Bills were on the bye week. Josh, it went pretty well.
It did.
They didn't lose.
They won.
They won.
Well, yeah, they won.
It went well.
Players got healthy.
I enjoyed
Teams
it.
Teams lost that they needed to lose, I think.
Not really, no.
No,
the Dolphins keep winning, and the Chiefs won. Yeah.
That's right. The Dolphins are... I'm annoyed by them.
I don't like it.
They need to just go away.
But ultimately, it was a pretty good bye week. I got to watch college football. I got to watch NFL football. Even the 1 o'clock games were not like good in the sense of you saw them...
Yeah,
on Friday, getting ready for your weekend, and you didn't sit there and go, "Man, that's I got to make sure like my schedule's cleared for that." No, but you had multiple games go late. You had a game go to overtime. You had some absolute fluke, you know what? That just okay. I guess we're here, Dallas and Washington.
Yeah, that game was crazy, and I think we kind of anticipated that. I remember we were talking about like the best games of the week and things like that, and that was one of them because. That was one where it's like, hey, you know, Dallas is bad, and Washington has been this high-flying offense, so maybe there'd be something there. And I mean, there was, but it wasn't.
It took a little while to get going.
Anything
Washington, though, the last few weeks has had a real tough time, really since Daniel's rib injury. He has looked noticeably different.
Yep.
And he's been struggling. They lose that game, though. The Cowboys somehow pull it together.
Go get Daniel Jones, please. That'd be the funniest thing in the world.
If he clears waivers today, I mean, that's probably going to be something that comes up very quickly of who signs him. I saw Baltimore was up there in terms of a team, I think, that likes him or wants him. Remember, a lot of it's going to be the comp pick. They'll get him now, won't sign him in the offseason, he'll leave, they're going to get a comp pick.
What would they get?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But good teams like comp picks.
That's fair.
And if you can afford to bring him on, you bring him on.
Mm-hmm.
The game, though, last night, I don't know how much you watched of the Rams and Eagles game, Josh.
All I saw was Saquon Barkley. Like,
and that's all you really needed to see.
He looked fantastic.
He is unbelievable. And a big part of it
is just the Eagles feel like the perfect marriage for him. Mm-hmm. That they have a quarterback that isn't incredible in the sense of he's going to actively take carries away from Barkley. They've got a good O-line. They've always had a good run scheme with Hurts there. And now you're just seeing Saquon Barkley go on a tear that I think I heard Joe talking about today, too. He's up there in the MVP odds, and he should be,
yeah.
I think. He has been such a difference maker for them. I know A.J. Brown, the stats, Jeremy, I think, brought him up as well this morning of, like, they're 8-0 when A.J. Brown plays. They're 1-2 when he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But watching that man play football, watching him, like, clearly be healthy, happy, excited, enjoying himself, it's been so much fun. He's already topped his career high in rushing yards through 11 games. He's averaging over 100 yards per game. Yes, a lot of it due to the fact that, yeah, last night he had well over 200 yards, the most rushing yards by running back since 2009 I saw. And he looks incredible.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, with that, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are going to get fired after Thanksgiving. Yeah. The only reason they still have jobs is they play on Thursday.
Yeah. No, if they played on a Sunday night this week, they'd be fired tomorrow.
They'd be gone.
With Barkley, though, first of all, the Eagles are on like a 7-game winning streak.
Yep.
So there's something there too. Barkley, 26 carries, 255 yards, 2 touchdowns. Man, that's an incredible stat line.
During this run too, because like, you mentioned they're on like the 7-game winning streak. It's partially because he's been almost like clockwork hitting over 100 yards every game outside of the Dallas game where he had 14 carries for 66 yards.
Yeah, I was going to say,
his normal carry load, he probably goes over 100.
Right, you look at his last 5 games, that's the only outlier. And even after that, he had 108 yards against the Bengals, which is amazing, but by his standards, that's not...
It's very low.
Like, because the other games in here in this span, so Bengals, he has 108 yards, no touchdowns, and 22 carries. Jacksonville, the next game, 27 yards, 27 carries, 159 yards, and 1 touchdown. The Dallas game, like you mentioned, was 66 yards. Washington, 26 carries, again, 146 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Like, he's consistently hitting 130 to on average, you could say probably 130 with putting everything together over the last 5 games.
And he's doing a lot of this, too. He was a guy coming out of Penn State his first 2 years or so in New York. He was kind of that do-it-all-back. You were also going to get him out of the backfield. He hasn't really been doing much of that at all this year. He has a total of 27 catches so far. He has been basically just a really, really great running back for them. And it has worked to perfection. They're a team I still think that is dominated by bad coaching, namely at the head coach. And I think that if you get, for argument's sake, let's say it's an NFC championship game between the Eagles and the Lions, I think that will be the difference, is coaching for Detroit is better than the Eagles. But in terms of pure talent, that Eagles team can beat Detroit.
Oh, for sure.
With Saquon Barkley.
Especially the way they're playing. I mean, that's the only team that can give Detroit a run for their money.
Yeah, I think so.
If you look at Barkley's numbers for the whole season, too, he's only got 4 games under 100 yards, and he only has 1 game under 50 yards. That's insane.
Yeah. And when you look at it, too, the team that maybe should have been giving them a hard time this year, San Francisco, who the Bills play next, look dreadful.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy, did not play yesterday. It was Brandon Allen.
They've got
Chris McCaffrey back.
Is this a game for
17-17?
For whoever wins gets number 17.
But they look broken. They look absolutely broken.
Which is crazy because Kyle Shanahan, even in their bad years, has always found a way to keep that team together and keep them somewhat competent.
With injuries, though.
Right.
When they pick up injuries, they lose games quickly.
But even still, I mean, you look over the past few years, they've had numerous injuries pop up on good players, mainly a guy like George Kittle, who has not been able to stay healthy over the past few years. And even Nick Bosa to an extent, but not as much as this year, I don't think. But you look at what he's been able to do with that team and those teams over the years, and it's never been this bad. It's never been to the point where it's, you know, what's going to happen in this offseason? Are they going to tear it down? Are they going to start all over? What are they going to do? Because this way they're looking right now at 5-6 in one of the worst divisions, and like not the worst, but one of the not nearly as good divisions in football. Mm-hmm. In the NFC West. I mean, they still have a chance to win their division. At a record of 5-6, they can still win their division. It would take a lot, for sure. But, like, the Seahawks are winning that division right now at 6-5. It's only a 2-game flip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, conference record and all that. The 49ers are 3-5 in the conference right now, which is just not great. But this 49ers team, they just didn't do anything yesterday that's making me nervous. At the beginning of the year, if you would have asked me the games I felt most nervous about, it would have been this game and the Lions game.
Yeah, now it's still the Lions game, but it's an NFC opponent, so I'm less so.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You could argue it's going to be a Super Bowl preview.
Yeah, it's more so what they're able to show so far this year is like, man, how are you going to handle that?
But with the 49ers now, like you said, 5-6, everything they've said about injuries has been not a white lie, but they're definitely not giving you all the information.
Mm-hmm.
So Brock Purdy misses yesterday. He's going to get another MRI on his shoulder. I won't be surprised now if on Wednesday you find out, no, he's probably going to be out for a few weeks. And it is Brandon Allen right. versus Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And even with McCaffrey being back, he's not doing much at all. He's clearly not 100% healthy. That shouldn't be a surprise, but it is just a fact of you know, coming back from an injury. He's not fully there yet. Yesterday against the Packers, which they were blown out, 38-10. It was never really a contest. Brandon Allen didn't play great by any stretch of the imagination, but Brock Purdy's not stopping them from scoring 38 points, you know?
Right, yeah.
They haven't been scoring the last few weeks since coming off the bye. I think their highest point total was 23 points. They're not doing great. But McCaffrey yesterday, 11 carries for 31 yards. It's good for a 2.8 average. Before that against Seattle, was his best game since coming back, 19 for 79, a 4.2 average. But then his first game back against Tampa Bay, 13 for 39, a good for a 3 average. So even in the beginning of the year when we were all talking about, you know, the run defense, or even now we're talking about the run defense, I don't look at McCaffrey the same way as I would the last 2-3 years. It's now just, can you stop George Kittle?
Right.
And even yesterday, where the Packers kind of didn't, he goes 6 for 6 for 82 and a touchdown, it didn't really matter. This is going to be a Sunday Night Football game. It's going to be in Buffalo. McDermott is 6-0 off the bye in his career. This team is very, very good at closing as well. Me and Derek Kramer talked about that last week. This team has lost a grand total of 2 games in December since 2020, Josh. I mean, they are one of the best closing teams in the NFL. And unlike years past, they are getting healthier. I think if you're San Francisco, you're seeing the writing on the wall. We've gotten old. Our team can't stay healthy. We've got to prepare to potentially pay Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of feels like a game that it's not, you know, end all be all. You got to go out there and you got to give it everything. I think that's already happened. I know they're still in the division fight. This team already kind of feels like it's done.
Yeah.
It was never a game against Green Bay. And Jordan Love himself didn't even play all that great.
Yeah,
he was having a Baker Mayfield versus the Giants performance where he was putting up, you know, 80 completion percentage and just hitting everybody. He was under 60. It was mainly Josh Jacobs in the red zone. Was just like, I'm just going to score.
That's the funniest thing when you look at this is you see the stat line and Love has 163 yards and even Josh Jacobs with 3 touchdowns has only 108 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's only like, it's less than 300 yards of total offense, but they still scored 38 points.
Yep.
It shows you how bad the 49ers were at managing the ball and getting the ball down the field enough so that, you know, because like if you look at the way the game breaks down, like in the drive breakdown, it goes like the first three possessions for the 49ers are punts.
Mm-hmm.
They get a touchdown there before the end of the half. And then it's a turnover on downs, an interception, a field goal, a punt, a fumble, like fumble, turnover on downs. Like there's just times where you're just giving Green Bay the ball. And I get it. At certain points, you're going for more than you probably should. Because at one point it was, you know, it was close. It was 7-17. It was 10-24. Like it's not super close by any means, but that was at the beginning of the second half. You can think that you have time to score 2 times before the end of the game to tie it or whatever. That's why you might go for it, especially if you're Kyle Shanahan with your offensive scheme and all sorts of stuff like that. But just looking at the game management, though, because like I said, they were able to keep the Packers at bay in terms of yardage, but it was just more so managing their possessions better.
That's the thing with Kyle Shanahan's system, though. It moves through the run game. If they can't get their run game going, they don't even try to pass, or their passing concepts don't look that good. That is the Shanahan way. That's why McCaffrey was such an integral part to their offense and such a big addition for them. It's why you do randomly see a no-name running back on San Francisco pop off.
Yeah.
They are built through the run game.
That's
and
why
when they're not getting it going.
That's why I didn't understand they didn't use Jordan Mason. I mean, McCaffrey might be hurt, and McCaffrey is the better back, obviously, but at the same time, if he's hurt, use the guy that's healthy.
It ain't working. He at one point had one rush for 16 yards. He eventually dipped because I think he fumbled yesterday as well.
He had some definitely because he finished at 3 carries for 8 yards, so he definitely had some negative yardage.
But it's just they are not the same San Francisco team you would have looked at in August.
No, oh, yeah,
they're not even the same San Francisco team you would have looked at in September when they had Jordan Mason going off.
Yeah, I mean,
they were waiting for McCaffrey to come back.
You look at their depth chart, and there's just IRs and O's everywhere. Brock Purdy out. Obviously, you don't know if it's going to be an IR thing, but he was out this past week. Elijah Mitchell, IR. Brandon Ayuk, IR. They're one of their rookie receivers, Jake McCowing, out. Trent Williams out. John Feliciano, IR. Like there's and their defense. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
There's everyone on there is on IR practically. I mean, Dre Greenlaw, Nick Bosa, both out this past week. So it's just there's a lot going on that team in terms of injuries, and there are also injuries to older players, which is the other interesting aspect of this because it's not like they're young players like. Or even like a Matt Milano, let's say, where it's, you know, when they come back, they still have some time left in their careers to come back, get fully healthy, and be who they once were. A guy like Nick Bosa and a guy like Dre Greenlaw, I think Dre Greenlaw's younger, right? On the younger side of things.
I gotta look that up.
He's 27. So,
well, because he's the guy that got hurt in the Super Bowl doing not a celebration, but getting excited to go on the field.
Yeah, he literally ran on the field and got hurt.
Yeah.
But, I mean, well, actually, no, both of them are 27. So, I mean, not to say that they're older, but you've seen them have injuries before.
They're veteran stars, and, yeah, they've gotten hurt. And, but that's where San Francisco's at now. They're older, they're getting hurt,
and they've
kind of run out of time.
Yeah, because, these guys that are getting hurt, they're in their primes, if you want to look at it, and they're wasting their prime years on the bench or on IR, and it's, you know, that's not great for anybody. It sucks all the way around, but it's like that leads you to the point of where do you go next? Because you can't sit here and say, well, you're going to, you know, rebuild and let all those guys go just because they started getting hurt. But at the same time, can you conceivably stick with them through this offseason and come back next year already having cap problems, already having issues with staying healthy, not having a great quarterback. You have a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. You don't have a great quarterback. You don't have someone that can – you don't have a Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts isn't, you know, up with the Josh Allens and the Patrick Mahomes, but like we were just talking about with the Eagles, he's good enough where if you need him, and if you need him, he can do what he needs to do. But with the way the 49ers are set up with Christian McCaffrey and everything like that, you just need to have a slightly better quarterback that can pass the ball when needed.
Mm-hmm.
But Brock Purdy – granted, he's hurt right now, but Brock Purdy hasn't really been that guy. He's just been a system quarterback that can work with Kyle Shanahan's system and kind of make himself look good.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like that's where you're in such this weird situation where are you going to pay him? Are you going to let him walk? Are you going to rebuild? Are you going to try to go into free agency? They're a team that I think Sam Darnold would fit on really nicely.
Well, yeah, because Sam Darnold was there, and now you've seen what he is as a starter. I will say I think the glitz and glamour on him has worn off a little bit.
For sure.
I would say that you know just from perusing around Vikings Twitter at times, it does feel like they're a fan base sort of like, hey, you know, if Darnold's doing this with this team, what's J.J. McCarthy going to do?
Yeah.
That seems to be the prevailing opinion.
Yeah, and that can and that's fine. If you're San Francisco and you're aging out and you're trying to, you know, maybe keep some relevancy going while also doing a slight rebuild, you need a quarterback like that. You need a quarterback that can make your $200 million receiver and Brandon Ayuk, I don't think it's actually $200 million, was it? I don't remember.
No. But I mean,
you know what I mean.
You paid him like a number one.
You paid him like a number one. You paid him all this money after all the contracts and stuff and
even
all that.
Before he got hurt, too. He's having a rough season.
Yeah. But after all that happened, you paid him. So you want to keep him happy now, right? So you got to get a quarterback that can actually get him the ball. Because Brock Purdy can do it, but not in a way that you need him to.
He's not elevating the team.
Right.
I think that's what you're seeing. They're trying to get Juwan Jennings the ball. Fantasy purposes, he's been fine, but in terms of actually winning games, not so much.
Are the 49ers, are they going to pick up Daniel Jones?
No.
I'm not saying that would be like the end-all, be-all perfect scenario for them, but at the same time,
I think
he'd be better than Brandon Allen.
For them, though, it may be another thing where they try to go back into the draft in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Although, ultimately, like if you ask me, like what do you think will happen? I do think they'll pay Brock.
I think so too, I don't think is the right Purdy. Choice.
Well, they'll pay him because he's good enough, like you mentioned. And he's in that uncomfortable window.
Just good enough.
But he's in that uncomfortable window that teams do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll end up paying him because you can argue, I don't know where else we're going to get better, what have you. And they'll go that way. But I will tell you, watching that game yesterday made me go from, I don't want to say a little nervous coming out of the bye week. Again, we've mentioned McDermott's 6-0 in his career. They're very, very good out of the bye week. That's like well known at this point. It was just more along the lines of, I guess, taking a deep breath and going like, all right, good. Like, now let's see if they actually are getting healthier. This team has looked really good. Now they're getting healthier. They've got that week off. This team is good out of the bye. And now they're going to play a San Francisco team that, like we were saying, back in August, September, we had different feelings on. Now, in November, it's like, you should take them.
Mm-hmm.
This shouldn't
be. Oh, for sure.
I don't want to say it should be like what Green Bay did.
No, but I think it could be. I mean,
it could be.
Again, looking at the stat line Green Bay put up, I think Allen can easily double the numbers that Jordan Love did.
Buffalo right now is a 7-point favorite.
How much is that going to change before Sunday night? I think it's going to get more. Like, I think it's going to go more in favor of Buffalo, especially
Brandon Allen.
Yeah, and especially as practice goes on this week too. If Keon Coleman comes back, if Matt Milano comes mm-hmm. back, there's
a lot
going
it.
On there. Yeah. And so I'm not trying to write this game off, but at the same time, this is not the 49ers of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they still have Christian McCaffrey and he's dangerous, but at the same time, we've seen what the Bills can do against a good run game. They did shut down certain teams, and they did, aside from Derrick Henry's big run in the Baltimore game, they handled them as best they could.
They adjust good. I mean, same with Jonathan Taylor. First half, very good. I would say if McCaffrey was healthy, I'd be more worried because they do invite the run. That's how they want you to try to win
mm-hmm.
is to invite the run.
I mean, Taron Johnson said that. He literally said, we want them to run. And he's one of the main factors when it comes to that run game because he'll come in as that, you know,
but right now McCaffrey's not healthy.
Right.
And that's more my thing is, even if they want to, which they're going to want to, this is a Kyle Shanahan-led team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to go well. I think this is a game that could get out of hand quite quickly, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited for this stretch run for the Bills. Me and Derek were going through it last week of just kind of like how this team operates to end these years. Like we mentioned, since 2020, sort of the ascension of this Bills team with Josh Allen and McDermott, they've lost two games total. They were both in 21. It was the win game against New England and the overtime loss to Tampa Bay.
That win game was the most infuriating thing ever. I have a friend who's a Patriots fan, and he would not stop gloating about that game. And I'm like, dude.
That felt like that for that week, too.
They were playing in a hurricane. Yeah. Calm down.
And then to that point, too, because we didn't do it like the full like end of the season kind of deal, because there's usually always like a January game thrown in there as well.
Yeah.
The Bills are, since 2020, 19-2 to end seasons. From the start of December to the end of the regular season, they're 19-2 in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They are an incredibly good closing team. And then you look at a team like San Francisco who looks wounded. Mm-hmm. Not looks wounded, is wounded.
Right, yeah.
And they may not even have their starting quarterback or their starting left tackle, and you're just like, okay,
we're
going to take them down.
And then you look
at the Rams. They're another team is coming up because they're going to be facing these California teams here. The Rams. Stafford looked fine last night, stats-wise,
mm-hmm.
but they couldn't stop Barkley.
No,
and you look at the Bills' running attack with James Cook, your offensive line potentially getting healthier, even Ray Davis in there as well. I'm not saying they're going to put up 255 yards rushing the ball like Saquon Barkley did, but when you have a better quarterback like Allen plus the run game.
Right. And Allen's running ability, too.
Yeah, I feel really good going into these next few games. Detroit is the one for me
mm-hmm.
that is the worry. But again, it's an NFC game.
Yeah.
That's not going to kill me if they lose it. Same, though, it's not going to like hugely boost anything if they beat two NFC teams. I don't want to make it sound like this is the Super Bowl run. I don't care about Detroit. But for them to be able to end these seasons going on a run and potentially take on teams that maybe they won't have to be in there super late into games, I think it's going to actually get Kansas City here eventually as well. Yes, they just lost to Buffalo. But again, it's a close game with a relatively poor team with Carolina. And it took a last-second field goal for them to win.
Yeah, and looking at that game too specifically, like Mahomes getting that 30-yard run, that was what did it to Carolina. If they would have stopped him on that 30-yard run, mm-hmm. I think it was only second down, but still, if you keep that run from happening, I think that forces overtime.
There's a good chance it forces overtime, and then it's sort of a coin flip at that point.
Just the fact that it literally is a coin flip at that point, actually. But just the fact that...
Well, it could be the Bears. They screwed up their overtime drive, so...
Well,
it's not always a coin flip. It just helps a little bit.
But looking at just how that game went, even though the Chiefs won, I mean, man, there's got to be some nerves going on in that locker room. You lose to Buffalo, and then you almost lose to the Panthers on top of all the other close games you've had this
I think it's
year.
Just, it's one of those, like, that's who they are this year.
Yeah.
That's who they are.
But that's, I mean,
That's what I wanted. I wasn't anticipating a loss to Carolina. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted, they go and play Carolina, and again, it's a close game in which you need last second, not luck, but you just...
No, it was...
You needed to squeeze everything out of that game to get a win.
Yeah.
That just will not be sustainable. I'm at a point now, the 2022 Vikings and the 2020 Pittsburgh Steelers, neither of them won a playoff game. I'm out on three straight is your goal. Your goal is to win a playoff game. Because right now, it's not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
You already saw. Their first loss was by 9 points. Sure, it takes a touchdown at the end, and it was close. I get it. But ultimately, it was a two-score loss.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a few brushes with death here. And it's not getting better. It's really not. It's staying. Mahomes had himself a very good game. I know because he's my fantasy quarterback. And it's still with the Carolina Panthers right to the end.
Yep.
It is brutal watching them play football.
Well, and it's that goes back to that mentality thing, the mental tax of playing games like that.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that with the Bills a few years ago where they were winning very close games. There was a lot going on outside of the game, and there was also everything going on towards the end of the season with DeMar Hamlin and everything like that. But you saw how drained that team was. And then last year, you have the Chiefs saying, oh, we didn't even really enjoy this season. We didn't even really want to, like, not that they didn't want to. It's the whole feeling of just like this, oh, it just
they had to grind through
on.
The season. Yeah.
Yeah. If that's what last year was like, what is this season like for them right now? How is their mentality right now? Because it's the second year in a row, if not worse than last year,
mm-hmm.
the same sort of vibe of this, you're dragging everything out, and oh my goodness, what is going on with these games? Why are we barely winning?
Yeah.
We're the Chiefs. We're two in a row Super Bowl
winners.
We're
going for three in a row, and it's just
right.
It feels like we are pulling teeth.
Yeah, so it's got to be one of those things. I'm not going to say they're going to fall apart in terms of locker room stuff. They're a very tight-knit group. They've been together for a long time. But at the same time, those types of situations can really lead into potential, not toxic environments, but things getting sour teammates.
Absolutely.
And we haven't heard anything like that, obviously. But at the same time, you never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Yep.
So
absolutely. 803-0550 is the number to call. How are you feeling after the Bills bye week? Bills getting ready to host the San Francisco 49ers Sunday night football, of course, this Sunday. We'll also get a word in on the Sabres. They go 3-0 in California. Paul Hamilton will join the show at 11:30. But of course, always looking for your calls. Want to talk Sabres? Want to talk Bills? Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here with you until 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Go out there first, second quarter. Don't get the ball. Start getting targets at the end. Can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What do you want me to do?
Why in the first half are they not looking at you?
I don't know. Talk to Dave about that. They come up to me, ask me what plays I want. That was that. I don't know.
Sounds like things in New York are going well. That is
poor Brian Daboll.
I don't know about that. That is Giants rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers. Yeah, again, if they weren't playing on Thursday, I think both Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are out of a job. I think that's almost 100%. This has been an incredibly embarrassing year for the Giants. Daniel Jones, they bench him and then cut him. It sounded like that was due to them doing right by Jones, and that was his request, and they granted it. Nabers went from looking like, oh man, he's OBJ reincarnated, to he got a concussion, and since then it has been great. You heard him there. They're not targeting him in the first half. They're starting Tommy DeVito. Yesterday, they're getting blown out by Tampa Bay, Baker has one of the coolest rushing touchdowns you're going to see, and does the Tommy DeVito celebration, arguably better than DeVito. And it's just it's a real, real bad scene that they're in right now. It's not going to get any better. Mm-hmm. I think it was a great first year with Daboll and Shane. They make the playoffs. They beat, as I've previously mentioned, a Vikings team that got super lucky and couldn't win a wild card game. They beat them there, and then they were blown out. And they have never been good since. They have got to completely reset, restart. I think that's what they should do. And then with Joe Shane, ultimately, Hard Knocks has not helped him by any means.
It already made him look not great when it came out, and now it's looking even worse.
Like the Saquon Barkley thing, but that's the worst, because Barkley's having a near MVP season.
To be fair, that is a tough situation to be in, because you're running out of money, and you obviously don't want to let him go, but at the same time.
But then them going into the season with Jones after actively courting a ton of rookie quarterbacks, it looks like a team in a season that looked like it didn't even want to take the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just never good.
Right. Like imagine this is, obviously they wouldn't have Nabers, right? But imagine this is a team where Saquon Barkley's your running back and Drake May's your quarterback.
Well, I mean, they would have had to trade up for it. For me, it's more the idea of if they had drafted a J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, but still.
Yes, he's hurt, but let's say the injury still happens, but you could sit there and go, hey, but we've got McCarthy waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
They have nothing there. Mm-hmm. There is no hope.
Right.
There is nothing to grab onto, because even with Nabers, we're halfway through his rookie year and we're already talking about he's not getting targets.
Yeah, he's already sick of it.
Yeah.
Like he's already not ready to leave, but he sounds pretty mad.
Yeah, like there's just no hope there. For Vikings fans, even if their season was, let's say, not 8-2, but 6-5, they could sit there and go, yeah, we got J.J. McCarthy coming next year.
Jefferson signed, J.J. McCarthy's coming in.
Addison looks good in year number two. Like they could have
the defense still looks okay.
They could have a ton of stuff. It just happens to be that they're 8-2. The Giants have none of that. The Patriots with Drake May, and obviously they took him, what, 3 overall? Their team's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, even in bad games, he's playing all right.
Right. I mean, even yesterday I saw, hit a 4th and 15, I think it was, at the end of the game. A 4th and 15, and they trusted him with the ball. Like, the game was over. So they just
let him go out there.
Went for it. Threw a 38-yard touchdown pass.
Yep.
Like,
nothing. I just needed him over 215 yards. I got 221. I'm happy with that.
Nice.
I'm happy with that. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Just talking about the bye week. How'd you feel? How do you feel about the Bills following that? Braden tweets in, I've always hated the bye week as it meant no Bills game, but this is the first time I was happy at one that they needed to get healthy and to win the way they did against who they did. Gave me the juice to make it through the week.
I think that's true.
I think that's right for a lot of people.
Let's say the games were flipped and it was Chiefs then Colts. How would you feel right now? Like, still probably the same.
49ers?
No. Like, you play the Chiefs, and then you play the Colts, and then you go to the bye week. Like, obviously, you still beat the Chiefs, but it's not as fresh. It's not as recent. Like, you're still feeling good because you're on a two-game winning streak. But at the same time, like, I think that beating the Chiefs right before the bye week kind of also helps fuel you through it.
Oh, yeah,
whereas, 100%. Like, if you beat the Colts, it's like, okay, cool. We beat the Chiefs 2 weeks ago, and then we just beat we beat a bad Colts team.
And it's just like, okay, now we're going to the bye week. You'd still have the Chiefs win. That would sort of be
true.
Have that bonus.
Okay, fine. Chiefs wins after the bye week then. And everything else is still there, but the Chiefs win.
You're happy you're 8-2, but it's still, you're like, all right, let's come on. I want to get to the Chiefs game. I know that's coming up. That was sort of the same thing when we started the year with San Francisco. All right, it's going to be Chiefs bye week in San Francisco. Okay, here we go. That's going to be the stretch run. Now it's a bit different. We were talking about San Francisco, where they've not looked like the team of years past at all. A lot of it due to injuries.
Mm-hmm. Rams the same way.
Rams kind of the same way. Detroit is now the game we're all sort of like looking forward to, going like, all right, that might be Game of the Year Part 2.
Yeah.
And that should be – I'm excited for that game and also can't – I don't want any part of it.
I just want it to be over, and I just want someone to tell me the score. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to – I want to watch it.
I want to watch it.
I'm going to watch it with, like, my hands over my eyes, like, looking through my fingers. Like,
I think a lot of it for me was just always – Detroit was that lovable loser. Like,
yeah.
If Matthew Stafford made a playoff game, it was like, oh, like,
great.
Go Lions.
Good for him, yeah.
Last year was sort of the same thing. Go Lions. Now they're really good. And I'm like, stop. No, I'm not going through the Saints thing again where you were bad your entire existence, good for 15 minutes, and you're going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing that again.
They got good too quick. Like,
yeah.
It was one of those things where it's like, okay, they're on the rise. Oh, they're here. Oh, okay, great, cool.
It becomes a very quick, like, check yourself. Like, it's
yeah,
like, Bills especially, it's like, no, there have been periods where they've been very, very good. Four Super Bowls, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never won one, and then went through the drought. Now we've been good for a while here.
Right, and even look at Allen's rise here. It took a few years for him to really get going. Like,
yeah.
Sure, you make the playoffs and everything with him early on, but it never really looked like, boom, there it is right away. Obviously, it's different because, you know, I don't know why I almost said Jared Goff was Nick Foles.
There you go.
You look at Jared Goff, and he's not a rookie coming into it, but it is still like he's coming into a new team. They're trying to put this all together on the fly, and they do. Right? Like, that's the thing.
They've also had a very quick ascension.
Yeah. And it's like, it makes me think of, like, you know, there's other teams in sports that this has happened to. Like, look back at the New York Rangers, where they fall off, they get Kaapo Kakko and Alexis Lafreniere back to back years, and then boom, all of a sudden they're good again. It's like, no, that's not fair. Like, sure, the Lions have been bad for a while, so it takes some time.
For me, it was just more
to get there,
I don't like that they are getting good and already look like a complete juggernaut that should, like, walk to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Again, because it's like the 09 Saints where they got really good when they first got Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They make the NFC Championship in 06. Then they have a rough 07, 08 years.
Yeah.
And then 2009, 13-3, and they walked to the Super Bowl. It felt like by halfway through the year, everyone knew it was going to be Colts Saints that year. I don't know if it's ever been the same since for me, but like that year stuck with me. I don't need that again. They were the Aints for years. Lions were just the joke of the NFL.
Yeah.
You can win one soon. I wish, like, the Bills to do it first. I can't have another team that was never good.
Yeah, your rebuild took 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Ours took, like, a long time. So,
yes, I don't need that. It should be a great game, though. The Lions very much are a front-running team at times, and I don't mean that as a negative. I mean, they get up on you fast, and then they can run the ball. And then they can just – I mean, they break you down. Their one issue, and I want to jump into the stats on this, too – I don't know if they've properly replaced Aiden Hutchinson for this year with Za'Darius Smith. He's much more of an interior pass rusher, and I don't know if they've totally gotten that corrected in terms of their pass rushing numbers. I have not looked into it. I'm going to wait, obviously, until like Lions week, but that would be my only thing is you didn't totally go out there in a Super Bowl window and replace Aiden Hutchinson.
It's also kind of tricky, though. Like, what kind of a move would – like, that would have been a massive trade.
Right.
Like, that would have been really hard – you could probably win a Super Bowl by going and getting like a Myles Garrett or something like that. But at the same time, if you're the Lions, the way that they're doing this is very smart. Because most teams, if they're in their and maybe this is just a general manager point rather than a team point, but most teams when they're in that situation where they've been bad for so long and then all of a sudden they have this chance to go and do something great and win the Super Bowl, they will go all in and trade everything away. Like the Rams did in 2021. It was F the picks and go get everybody.
Yep.
And now look at the Rams where they're okay, they have players still, but they're not what they used to be.
Yep.
The Lions are doing this where you're slowly building and Za'Darius Smith probably wasn't the best option you could go get. But Aiden Hutchinson's young. He's going to come back from that injury. He might be back in time for playoffs. There's a lot that they did right, even if they don't win the Super Bowl, because they didn't hemorrhage the future just for a chance to win the Super Bowl. Because you could have traded for somebody like Myles Garrett, and boom, he gets hurt the next week. Like, that's the thing.
Or you just realize you're losing the division or the championship round,
yeah.
And all of a sudden you're sitting there going,
well, we just traded everything away for a first-round loss or a second-round loss, and then it's, what are we going to do now? So I think the Lions, while they could have made their chances better for sure, they definitely did the right thing by not going big.
Yep.
But
that's fair.
You know, obviously, we're going to have to see how they handle the Bills. So Like I said, it's one of those things where it's like, I want to watch, obviously, but I'm going to be scared the entire time. Like,
I don't know if I'm going to be scared. It's just, it's one of those teams where I'm going to be looking at them and going like, man, I can't believe you guys got good this fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a great game. The way the Bills are playing is awesome. Mm-hmm. If you would have asked me 2-3 weeks ago, do they have a shot against the Lions? I'd have said no. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a loss. Now I have a much better feeling about them.
Yeah.
With that being said, though, week 12, we still have one more game tonight. I think the game of the week.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Waiting for
the Harbaugh. The Harbaugh Bowl.
The Harbaugh Bowl. 7-4 Ravens versus 7-3 Chargers. I think the Chargers are an ascending team. I think the Ravens peaked early and are stumbling here. And I don't like them in the spot at all. I think The Ravens are favored. Yep, they're 2.5-point road favorites. And I think the Chargers are going to beat them. I think that was a huge win for the Chargers against the Bengals to kind of, in a way, put away the demons of we lose these close games all the time. We blow huge leads all the time. And for them, and I get it, the Bengals are their own worst enemies as well. But for the Chargers to come out on top there, I think is huge. They are an ascending team. Their defense is playing out of this world. And I'm not going to lie, if I'm the Chargers, I'm smelling blood in the AFC West. I think you can go catch Kansas City or at least make it a fight.
Yeah.
And it starts tonight. If you beat the Ravens, you're 8-3. And then looking at the Chargers' schedule here going forward, the Bills do not play them. But you get Baltimore tonight at Atlanta. Atlanta has looked like a team as well. Struggled like week one because Kirk Cousins is coming back from his Achilles injury. Then they kind of went on a run where they looked really good on offense. They looked like a lot of fun, what have you. Now they look like a team that's probably going to be one and done in the playoffs if they even make it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get at Kansas City. You should have beat them earlier in the year when they lost Rashee Rice, mm-hmm. but you weren't there yet. Now the Chargers feel like a team that is there. You get that win at Arrowhead. Then all of a sudden you have Tampa. I think you can beat them, but I do like Tampa. Don't get me wrong. Denver, tough game as well at New England at the Raiders. There's a few tough games in there,
yeah,
but I think they also close should out, probably end the year on a 2-0 run.
Right, you close out easy, but also and then you look at the Chiefs conversely there. They have the Raiders this week, which, you know, maybe – oh, that's the Black Friday game. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could say, oh, it's the Raiders. The Chiefs will be fine. They almost lost to the Panthers.
And they did lose to the Raiders last year.
Yeah, the Raiders have figured out ways to beat them before, so – the Raiders could still give the Chiefs a run for their money this week. Then, like you said, they play the Chargers.
Then Cleveland.
Then the Chiefs have the Browns, the Texans, the Steelers, the Broncos. The Browns, not too big of a worry, probably. Mm-hmm. The Texans, Steelers, and Broncos, though, that's a gauntlet to end the season compared to the Chargers, where it's, you know, you have the Broncos, and then you have two easy games against the Raiders and easier games against the Raiders and Patriots. I really think that week 18 game against the Broncos, that's going to be to decide the division. I really think so. I think the Chargers are going to go on a run. The Chiefs are going to stumble a little bit more, and it's going to get dicey at the end for the Chiefs.
Man, I hope so, because I do not think the Chiefs are good this year. I think they are exactly what they
look like,
which is the 2022 Vikings, the 2020 Steelers. Mm-hmm. They are getting super, super luck at the end of these games. Every close game seems to be going their way. And eventually it is going to bite them. They've already lost a game. It's not like they're undefeated still. They've already lost a game.
Yeah.
And they were chasing the Bills the entire night. There were points where they did take the lead, but they were chasing them the entire night. And the Bills came in there wounded. I get it. So did the Chiefs. But I don't know if that makes up a ton outside of Rashee Rice. But even then, to start the year, he was getting a boatload of their targets, and they were still struggling on offense. This is what they've been now for like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number to call. Also want to get that word in on college football. Crazy weekend this weekend as we head into rivalry week this upcoming Saturday. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt. You're here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, it is a Football Monday, which means this is also the Catholic Health Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And because it was the Bills bye week, really have no updates on any injured players. And that is, of course, the Barnes from Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes from Injured for Help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Though, Josh, we did have a lot of college football this weekend. We're getting closer and closer to conference championship weekend.
Poor Army.
No. We're getting so close to conference championships week here. And basically every 8-2 SEC team lost. And it is going to make the reveal tomorrow, the college football reveal tomorrow, I think a lot more fun. I think the biggest winner from Saturday is actually Indiana.
Yeah, because they lost early. But it's like...
They lost early, but every argument for Indiana was, yeah, but how are you going to leave out a 9-2 Ole Miss team or A&M or Alabama? Mm-hmm. Well, they all lost.
Yeah.
So Indiana, welcome back to the playoff. You never left.
I mean, I think the biggest loser.
It's teams like Alabama, Ole Miss.
Well, I was going to say, out of all of them, I want to say that it's Alabama, but Ole Miss is probably worse off just because of the fact of being ranked lower already and...
Well, I think both teams are going to be out. I don't think it matters.
Oh, you don't think either of them are going to make
it? No, I think Ole Miss was 9, Alabama was 7. I think they're both out.
Yeah.
I think
Alabama will squeak in just because they're Alabama. Like, I think maybe they'll be like 11 or 12.
Oh, I don't.
No?
I think the committee would be happy as can be to the first time Nick Saban's out. Yeah, no, guys, they lost 3 games. They're out. Yeah, we're cool with that. We're fine with that. And ultimately, I mean, you do look at it. Georgia won again. They're 9-2, so they're going to go in. Tennessee, 9-2. They ultimately played UTEP, so they didn't play really anybody. They got Vanderbilt this weekend. But then Boise State as well, they can move up. Tulane keeps winning. I mean, they're going to probably play Army for their American Conference Championship. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Texas won again. Oregon's the only undefeated team still. Ohio State got their big top five win. They keep moving up. Penn State's still there. Notre Dame keeps winning. They've already got a lot of teams there that they can move up. SMU as well, who's probably going to be playing in the ACC Conference Championship. They're going to have a few teams now where they can push them up, and the SEC kind of proved to itself it is not a dominant year this year because you had a bunch of 8-2 teams, and they all lost to mid-tier SEC teams. Ole Miss in the swamp against a true freshman quarterback in DJ Lagway never looked good. They never looked like they were actually competitive. Auburn beats A&M 43-41 off a drop pass on a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
I mean, not good by any means. And then Alabama, I'm sorry, you put up 3 points against Oklahoma, who rushed the field because they were bowl eligible. It's a bad weekend for the SEC. It's a bad weekend. Not bad, though, for Texas as they get ready to take on A&M. The first time since 2011. And, Josh, I had some fun today looking up the stat sheet of that game, which Texas won 27-25. Both teams were mid.
There was fun trivia that we did this morning.
A&M starting quarterback that game, Ryan Tannehill. Texas's leading receiver, Marquise Goodwin.
It's crazy.
These teams had borderline never played, and it was a huge rivalry for a long time, and it went away. But that was a lot of fun, like looking that up and being like, wow, Ryan Tannehill. That's right. He did play at A&M for 3-4 years and was their starter. Case McCoy was the Longhorn starter as well. Going to take a quick time out here. Want to jump into some hockey in the next hour. Paul Hamilton's going to join at 11:30, but the Sabres, 3-0. Out west, grinding out some wins, 3-1, Josh, without Tage Thompson. Hopefully he's back by Wednesday. But they have looked really, really good in a playoff spot, third in the Eastern Conference. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt taking your calls, of course, 803-0550, the number to call. This is WGR.